And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of Truth.
We generally know the advocate as the Holy Spirit. Or those of us who go back a ways, even the Holy Ghost. The third person of the Holy Trinity. That quiet, still voice that speaks to us sometimes in the middle of the night. And sometimes the roaring thunder that catches us unaware. You never know when and how the Holy Spirit will reach out to you. And it's often surprising the people with whom the Spirit uses to speak to us. And I realized this week, I realized this yesterday, that the Spirit was speaking in a way through a person I never expected. And that is Dr. Gregson Piggott from Minority Health of Suffolk County. This past week over at St. Andrew's Community Center over there in Mastic Beach, Dr. Piggott came to do the Narcan training that we've been talking about. And just a reminder, Narcan is the drug that helps counteract the effects of opioids, especially in times of overdose. And Dr. Piggott came this week there to do training on how to use it and to certify people. And our Dan Malloy from here took the course, as well as other people throughout the community. And somewhere in probably in the early fall, I'm going to ask Wendy to schedule another course with Dr. Piggott, and we're going to have it here. And why I'm speaking about the Holy Spirit and Dr. Piggott and this training is it wasn't just about how to use this drug. It was this explanation about how opiates affect the mind and the person and how the addiction works and how recovery works with a person. Now, I have a long history of working with addiction and recovery, but I learned so much, and that was put to use yesterday when I was talking to a young person who is, you know, suffering from addiction to heroin. And it all started because he was in a car accident and was given OxyContin and basically, basically developed an addiction. And then when that was taken away, found a cheap source. And I was able to have an understanding of where this person was coming from and was able to offer some guidance on how we might be able to work towards treatment or finding a way for this person to get the help he needs. Now, the church has a lot of functions, and part of it is this: to come together on a weekly basis and other times to pray, to worship, to share in the Eucharist. But the main work of the church is outside of these doors. Sometimes it is to share the gospel. Sometimes it's about doctrine. Other times it's about sharing scripture. But as Christians, we are called to serve our sisters and brothers. Jesus talks about the importance of following his commandments. And those commandments are quite simple. Love the Lord our God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And throughout history of Christians, we have reached out to our neighbors. The early church was held suspect because members would go out to areas and help take care of the poor and the needy and sick that were not members of their family, had no direct relationship to the Christians, often didn't even believe in Christ, because those early Christians understood that they were called to serve their fellow brothers and sisters. And this has continued throughout the last 2,000 years, where we have been called time and time again to reach out to our neighbors. The God remains the same. The needs of our community changes. And it's important that we look at ways in which to serve that community. When possible, to take training that a few years ago would never have crossed our minds. To seek new avenues. To reach out to people in places we would never have imagined at one time. Our gradual, our sequence hymn, Be Thou My Vision, is this plea to Christ to lead us, to give us the strength and the courage to follow the example that he gave to us. Our Savior, who went out to see the lepers when other people shunned them. Our Messiah, who reached out to those people whom others have rejected because of their sense of morality. Our Christ, who gave people such as tax collectors, foreigners, sinners, a chance. The vision of Christ we should hold is just not some pious image of some untouchable king, but one who has walked among us, who knows us, who understands our infallibility, our pain, and accepts and loves us, not in spite of it, but because of it. During the season of Easter, we light the Paschal candle for each service. We light it for baptisms and funerals and weddings and other important dates of the church to remind us that Christ came to us as the light of the world, a beacon that shines forth the darkness. And each and every one of us is called to carry that light with us out into the world. When I was doing the homeless ministry in Springfield, we'd have the Sunday Eucharist. And we would hold it outside, rain, snow, shine. I have done the Eucharist in horizontal rain. I have done it in knee-deep snow. And I have done it in temperatures that I thought I was going to die of heat stroke. But we always end it with the same hymn. That this little light of mine. Now, in some ways, it might seem a little goofy. It might seem a little childish. But people loved it because it reminded them that no matter who they are, what circumstances they were living through at the moment, they too shared the light of Christ. That they too were worthy of Christ. And that they also had a part in the ministry. Now I'm asking you to bring that light into the world. But I'm also asking you to listen to what it is the Spirit, the Advocate, is calling us to do as a community. What it is asking us to face in the world in which we are living today. To show us, to inspire us, to give us the courage to do the kind of training it takes to be a Christian in the modern world. My brothers and sisters, you are the light. You are the bearers of the good news. I encourage you to seek a new vision, to follow Christ, to leave your light shine brightly